Hello and welcome to South Asia Chat, brought to you by the Institute of South Asian Studies at the National University of Singapore. Our guest today is Mr. Nandan Unnikrishnan, Distinguished Fellow at the Observer Research Foundation, New Delhi. Mr. Unnikrishnan is a foreign policy expert specializing in Russia, Central Asia, and other four Soviet territories. An alumnus of Jawaharlal Nehru University, he began his career as a journalist with the Press Trust of India and was its Moscow bureau chief for 3 years. Today, we speak to him about the role of Russia in India-China relations, especially in the backdrop of the recent skirmish in eastern Ladakh. Thank you, Mr. Unnikrishnan, for joining us today. So I'd like to start by asking you, what has Russia's role been in the recent confrontation between China and India in eastern Ladakh?
Well, we have to start with the fact that Russia has a long-standing relationship with India and recognizes that India is quite averse to any public mediation between India and any other power. So I don't think there would have been any role in trying to mediate between India and China in the classical sense. But yes, Russia is not interested in hostilities between China and India. In fact, it goes against Russia's current interest to have any kind of instability between these two countries with whom it has very good relations with both of them. And I would suspect that if there was any effort to try and sort of diffuse the tensions between India and China, this would have been strictly in the background. And it would not be, I don't think it would even be a post office role. I think they would at best nudge the two parties to talk to each other. But I am told, now I don't know whether this is true, so take it under that advice. But I am told that the Russians did play some kind of role in the release of the 10 odd Indian soldiers early on, soon after after the clash that took place in Galwan.
So how would you assess the equation between Russia and China vis-a-vis Russia and India? I was reading a comment by you recently where you said that, you know, Russia will back China on many issues, but not all. So there are irritants between them as well. So could you just elaborate on this dynamic between Russia, China, Russia, India?
Yes. Now, one is, again, a little bit of background. Russia, Russian worldview from a state position sees a vital role for China, India in working, and other parties also, not only China and India, but they see these as critical, having a critical role in working out a security architecture for Asia. Originally, it was for Asia. Now it has expanded to the new concept of Greater Eurasia. So the Russians believe that without the Chinese or the Indians, no stable architecture can be evolved. I'm not getting into whether the United States is present or not. I'm just talking of the countries that are geographically in this region. And if you come from that background, you can see that the Russians are quite dismayed by the fact that India and China are constantly, you know, in this state of tension with each other. Given Russia's relationship with other great powers, it is being pushed by the West. Well, the pushing started with NATO's expansion, but it definitely came to a peak after the Ukrainian crisis, when Russia took back or annexed, whichever you prefer, depending on where you stand. Crimea, sort of engulfed Crimea back into the Russian fold, as the Russians like to say. It left Russia pretty much with little choice, although Russia had started a formal pivot to the east in 2011. It started a little earlier, but Mr. Putin came out with a series of articles in the Izvestia newspaper shortly before he was re-elected as president, enunciating this whole concept of Eurasia and the need for Russia to pivot to the east and develop its relationships with the eastern nations. Immediately after the crisis in Ukraine, I think this pivot to east became more of a pivot to China. You know, there was always a strong relationship with India, but the rest of Asia, it became a pivot to China. In the last 2-3 years, I think there is a significant effort at correcting that tilt, and Russia has activated its relationships with ASEAN. It's reaching out to Japan and South Korea. But undoubtedly, China looms large in its foreign policy. And I would guess that after the United States, that is the country with which on which they expend maximum energy maintaining that relationship. India would be a close sort of competitor for Russian attention in the foreign policy sense behind China. Russia understands that there is a differential in terms of economic capacity, military capacity between China and India, but that is not the reason why it wants this relationship with India. It wants this relationship with India because in case a dyarchy does appear, even if it's an asymmetrical one, Russia believes that it is countries like India, Russia, maybe a few others, that would be able to balance and give each other strategic space so as to be able to conduct their own policies, firstly, of course, domestic as well as foreign, and they would be able to maintain strategic autonomy from both these centers of power, which is presumably the United States and China. Which is why Russia feels that its relationship with India is also critical. In recent times, of course, China and Russia have become very, very close. And it is not just economically. They have conducted joint military exercises. They have executed joint patrols in the Sea of Japan with their aircraft. So there is a fair amount of closeness. But if you now draw the comparison with India, they have done all these things plus plus with India. Now, if we come to the areas of difference, there are irritants in the relationship with China, between Russia and China. These are not irritants that are going to derail the relationship as of now, but these are green shoots, and I suspect these will develop. These are not going to disappear. If we start, if you're looking at a map, the first area of difference which is emerging is the Arctic. Chinese declarations of a new polar silk route, all these have upset the Russians, who believe that, firstly, they see the Arctic as their domain, but they understand that they have to rub shoulders with the USA, Canada, Norway, and others. And so therefore, the Arctic Council is for them the deciding body of how the Arctic should develop or what should be the rules of engagement. And all others are merely observers, and they should follow those rules. So China attempting to play this forward game in the Arctic is something that the Russians are not very happy with. The second area where there would be differences, again, if you come down, would be Central Asia. They have, in a sense, competing interests, because Russia views Central Asia as its, to put it crudely, soft underbelly, and will protect its strategic interests there, and does so. It's a security interest primarily. But China, with its expansion economically, particularly the BRI, is also going to start looking at protecting its investments in the region. So it will also acquire a security role, and that is where the friction is likely to take place and the ability to influence. The third area that, if again, if you go down southwards, is, for example, the South China Sea. The Russians are, contrary to popular belief, the Russians are not with the Chinese on the South China Sea. If you look at Russia's actions, they in fact have a joint venture, oil exploration joint venture, with the Vietnamese in the South China Sea. They supply Vietnam with submarines. Now, we all know that those submarines Vietnam is not going to use against the United States or against its neighbors. The only country that it will use it against or intends to use it against is China. So there is already, you can see daylight then between China and Russia on some strategic issues. Do tell me if I'm running over time.
No, please.
And the final straw, as it were, would be a domestic area, but I'll have to go north again, which is in the Russian Far East. The Russians definitely want the Chinese to help with development of the Far East. This is a vast area, you know, more than almost 6 million square kilometers, I think. No, I'm getting confused now. Anyhow, it's a huge area with only 6 million people. That's right, 6 million people. And with that kind of density of population, it's obviously not easy for Russia to think in terms of developing that area, which is relatively underdeveloped if you compare it to the European part of Russia. And at the same time, it requires resources, and China is the neighboring country which has the resources and ability to help. But of course, they are worried about Chinese overtaking the region, not only through resources, but also human beings. So that is a concern that the Russians have right now. In fact, that is not a danger at all, because there are about less than 100,000 Chinese citizens on Russian soil there. And in fact, there are more Russians across the border, because medical facilities and other things are better in China right now. So a lot of Russians put their residences out for rent and go and stay in China. But the fact is, the long-term prospect is something that worries the Kremlin. And finally, of course, they have a history. The Chinese have not, they still teach in schools about the territories that have been lost in an unequal treaty to Russia. Recently, when Vladivostok was celebrating its anniversary, 160th, I think, or something like that, the Chinese objected. The Russian embassy in Beijing had to pull down some celebratory messages. So there are frictions between the two, which right now, of course, is overshadowed by their common desire to resist the United States and to prevent what they consider a rebirth of a hegemon. But the Russians are worried that in that process, they may see the birth of another hegemon to the south of their borders.
So amidst this Galwan crisis, you know, our Indian Defense Minister, Mr. Rajnath Singh, visited Russia to expedite the supply of the S-400s and other defense equipment. But since then, of course, there has been a de-escalation at the border. So do you think Indians can continue to rely on Russia for its security amidst its deepening strategic partnership with China? And also, is Russia willing to open to making some of its weapons in India to enhance its reliability to India?
Well, to be one is we have to distinguish what we mean by security. I mean, if we want to see a repeat of 1971, where the Russian fleet was deployed in the southern parts of Bay of Bengal, I don't think that is likely to happen. If there is a conflict between India and China, I don't think the Russians will want to get involved with boots on the ground. On the Indian side, definitely not on the Chinese, but not on the Indian side. So that is one aspect. The second is the Russians are not going to stop the supply of arms that are critical for India's defense, and that includes spare parts and all the necessary equipment to keep weapons platforms functional. I don't think we have reached that stage where Russia at this stage would even consider such a possibility. So all these newspaper reports about China putting pressure on Moscow and all would, in fact, if such a thing did happen, I think it would only have added irritation in Kremlin with China's wolf warrior diplomacy. As it is, they're upset. This would have only made it worse. So they are not likely to be susceptible to that. As far as the production of weapons is concerned, Nitya, they're happy to produce in India, right? The problem is, I mean, I won't say it's their fault, neither is it India's, but we have two different systems. We want these things to be produced under the Make in India program. The Russians are quite happy to participate in it, but they don't, you know, their weapon systems are all manufactured by state-owned corporations. They don't deal with private sector. So they are unused to the concept of the private sector, and they will need guidance in that. Unfortunately, the guidance that they're getting is, I mean, to be soft, subpar. It is not really good, right? And that game India has to up. So I would, in fact, if I was to be a judge on why this is not taking place, I would say, you know, a substantial portion of the blame lies with India, because we know the Russians desire to do it. We know they're willing to give you weapon systems and they're willing to invest resources, but we are unable to prepare the ground for those ventures to take off. For example, I'll tell you, we have signed a deal for helicopters. We have agreed that they will make 3 frigates in India. We have identified the slots for all this, but for some reason, these have still to, I'm not saying the frigates will be made in 5 days, but the point is you have to at least start something somewhere. So that is taking time. So I don't think it's a lack of desire on the Russian part. I think we have to up our game in terms of the way we approach it. And this is true, incidentally, I mean, I'm sorry to veer off topic as it were, but this is true not just of Russia. This is true of our relationships with almost every country in the world, particularly in the weapons sector. And it's also true of other civilian private sector projects.
Yes.
I mean, it's not as if the world is dying to rush to invest in India. The world wants to exploit the Indian market,
yes,
but India has not created the conditions for that right now. So we have a lot of work to do domestically to be able to grow our strength.
I'd also like to ask you, what are your views on the RIC and its way forward in the present circumstances?
This is a very, I mean, it's a very interesting question, but I would say that this is something that I don't really have an answer for. You know, as I said, RIC is a concept that in the Russian mind is central to some kind of working out of an Asian security system. I mean, as an Indian, probably have no objection to that as a concept. I would also agree that you cannot really have any kind of stable security architecture in on Asian landmass without Russia, without China, without India. So, I mean, in principle, that is true. The problem, however, is the nature of the relationship between India and China. That is one. But more importantly to me, I think where the Russians need to look at things slightly differently is, it is the nature of China. China has arrived at a stage on the world, at the world stage, where it believes it has arrived and it has the right and the might to do certain things, and that other smaller countries have to just swallow it. Now, that unfortunately is not something that is going to happen. So, there will come a time when the Russians will also be faced with that choice. I'm not saying of a direct choice between Russia and China, but faced with the choice with, for example, if China starts pushing ASEAN countries, or even pushing India a bit too much, Russia will have to make a choice, display a choice. Today it displays its choice by giving India a nuclear submarine, which everyone knows India wants to use against the Chinese. And it collaborates with you in creating your own nuclear submarines, the entire setup. So they have made a choice, but that is an easy choice to make right now. The more difficult choice is ahead, as China, I don't think, is going to suddenly become a good boy and stop this expansionism of its own. So the Russians have a tough time ahead. In that context, does RIC have a future? That is the question. And I really don't have an answer. But given the pessimistic scenario that I've drawn, I don't know whether I would invest too much in that concept.
Anyway, it was a non-starter. I mean, nothing substantial has happened by the way of the RIC so far.
Well, it was a non-starter to the extent that, let's be very honest with this. The Russians invested a lot of time and energy in it. But the Indians are still not sure what can come out of it. So they are not investing time and energy. Now, if you're trying to create a triangle and one angle is just not functional, then it doesn't work. So what has happened is that the Russians have developed a good relationship with India, a good relationship with China. But the relationship between Russia and India, between China and India, is not a good one. And that is where there is another fear that Russians have. Not a fear, actually, maybe what they're worried about is about India's growing relationship with the United States. They're not worried in terms of, you know, that India will buy arms and all that. That is not something that upsets them too much, because they recognize that India wants to diversify, does not want to be dependent on one country. But what really worries them is that India may be drawn into the circle of the United States and the West, and will then slowly sort of the relationship between Russia and India would erode, and then the Russians would lose one significant partner that could give them strategic maneuverability vis-a-vis the Chinese, for example, or even vis-a-vis the Americans. So there is a worry of the long term in their minds. But so far, of course, India has played the game fairly well. I think it's reassured them. But time will show, as they say, what and how this grows.
And finally, also the trade relation between China and Russia, it's almost 10 times more than that of India. I believe it's over $110 billion between China and Russia, compared to just $10 billion between India and Russia. So how do you think this can be strengthened? You know, the economic ties between the two can be strengthened.
You mean economic ties between Russia and India?
Yes.
Well, one is that we have to understand that while the fact that India and Russia don't have a border has helped us because we have not fought wars with each other. But at the same time, it has distanced us from each other in an economic sense. We don't have a genuine trading route. But in Soviet times, we used to use the what is now being revived by the Modi government, the Vladivostok-Chennai route. There used to be a shipping agency that used to run goods up and down on that. But that may not be the most efficient route. The other route would probably be via Iran, but Iran is not doing us any favors. So they have just canceled the Chabhar Zayedan train agreement. So I don't know what future that has. So given that land connectivity or sea connectivity is still an issue, I would think that the way to strengthen the relationship currently is to A, increase cross investment in industries of interest to each other. The second is to increase collaboration in high technology areas. For example, I mean, we all know that Russians are fairly advanced in robotics. They're fairly advanced in artificial intelligence. They also have developments, significant developments in nanotechnologies. Now, these are areas where we could collaborate, we could learn from them. We could, in fact, I would think that one of the best things to do would be to get Russian expertise on education, to call them in to set up science and technology institutions in India. You know, we get a lot of help and collaboration with Western universities on liberal arts. So you have a huge number of private universities that have cropped up. But science and technology is something that needs to be addressed. And I think the Russians have a very robust and strong presence in these areas. And this is something that we could think in cooperating. The third, of course, is that our defense relationship is not disappearing. It's going to be there. It may reduce, but it is going to be there. And the final thing is that renewables and nuclear energy, these are the areas which again are not going to disappear. In nuclear energy, of course, the Russians are ahead of most of the world in terms of collaboration with India. But even in renewables, this would be an area that we could work together. So the possibility of strengthening the relationship is there. But there is one fundamental weakness, and that is the fact that 80% or more probably of the Indian economy resides in the private sector. And the Indian private sector is negligibly involved in the relationship with Russia. So if you have a government-to-government relationship, even at the economic level, you will always have a limitation. It is going to be very small. So if the leaderships on both sides think out of the box, I mean, find solutions to get the Indian private sector into the relationship, then there is a chance of growing the economic relationship too.
Thank you so much, Mr. Unnikrishnan, for joining us. This was a very insightful conversation. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Nitya.
You were listening to South Asia Chat brought to you by ISAS. If you wish to learn more about our work, please visit isas.nus.edu.sg.